Hello, Tim.
Welcome to Frontline Harmony Church Podcast. This is your host with the most, Mike Macasunas. How's everybody doing today? Yay. So, evidently, why don't you start off by saying what you just said 10 seconds ago? I must have been on an acid trip.
Michael had an acid trip last podcast because the wrong song played for this music spotlight.
I had no idea. I literally searched what you said. I downloaded it. I attached it. And there you go. So I apologize.
No, it's not a problem. It's still a good song.
It's still a good song. So, what up, gentlemen? It's just us today.
Just us today.
Woo-hoo. 2 weeks. Maybe when we do a podcast, I edit it 2 weeks later and release it.
So. Yeah, okay. We're going to go to every 2 weeks now, right?
No. I don't know what... It's work's been crazy, but now I'll make sure that we... when we record, I get it out like the old times day, you know, old time day. So Pastor Eddie liked our last episode, so it's all good.
Now, I did notice on the website for the church that I'm taking it for granted we are not podcasting on the 17th because you're having your potluck.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that like 2 weeks? Very good.
Yes. 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so... I was thinking about what are we going to talk about today, so I want to read you guys something, and I figured it would spark some pretty good discussion. So I've been trying to get Saul to check out this end time stuff.
Oh yeah, I watched one of those.
Yeah, did you watch one of those? So this one dude I've been watching, he had a near death experience, and he was a gamer, and he was actually an atheist. And he had a near-death experience, called out to Jesus, and ever since then, he's been studying the book of Revelation. And within 6 months, this guy has dissected the book of Revelation so good that his YouTube channel is just so fascinating, where he reminds me of Saul. He's just so awesome. That's not what I'm going to talk about, but I've just been fascinated with this guy's stuff. It's been great. Where like he's been able to pinpoint who the Antichrist is based off of 666 stuff. I'm going to send you a bunch of videos and stuff. But anyways, but related to that, I came across this thing and I thought it'd be interesting take to see what you guys think. It's called Pre-Trib Rapture. God always takes out the righteous before judgment. God does not judge blindly. He does not sweep away the righteous with the wicked. Throughout scripture, there is a clear consensus pattern. Before judgment fall, God makes a way to escape for those who belong to him. This is not an assumption, it's divine order. In the time of Noah, the earth was filled with violence and corruption. Judgment was determined, but it did not begin immediately. God first secured Noah and his household inside the ark. Only after the righteous were safely inside did the flood begin. The rain did not fall while Noah was outside. The flood did not start while the door was still open. God shut the door himself, then judgment followed. Look again at Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin had reached heaven. Judgment was certain. Yet God did not destroy the city while Lot was still there. In fact, the angels urged him, "Hurry, escape there, for we cannot do anything until you arrive." Genesis 19:22. Think about that. Heaven was ready to release fire, but it was restrained until the righteous man was removed. That is God's pattern. Noah was taken in before the flood. Lot was taken out before the fire. Rahab was preserved before Jericho's fall. Israel was shielded before Egypt was struck. God always makes a distinction. He knows those who are his, and he knows how to deliver them. This is where the coming judgment on the earth will not begin with the righteous still exposed. There will be a separation first, a divine removal. Jesus spoke about it. One shall be taken, the other left. Luke 17:34. That is not poetry. That is separation. Paul also revealed this mystery. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. A moment is coming when God will once again remove his own before judgment is released. That is what is often called the rapture, a sudden taking away of those who are truly in Christ. Not everyone in church, not everyone who claims God, but those who genuinely belong to him. And just like in the days of Noah, it will happen suddenly. Life will look normal. People will be planning, working, celebrating, unaware that the line between mercy and judgment is about to be crossed. Then in a moment, the righteous will be gone and what remains is judgment. Scripture gives further assurance. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Because you have kept my commandments, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Revelation 3:10. So this truth demands a personal question. Are you among the righteous God will take out, or among those who will face what comes after? Because proximity is not enough. Noah's generation saw the ark, but perished outside of it. Lot's son-in-law heard the warning, but treated it like a joke. Awareness is not salvation. Hearing is not entering. You must be in Christ, not around him, not familiar in him, not associated with him, in him. What does that require? I'm almost done. Genuine repentance, not just words, but a turned heart. Faith in Jesus Christ, his death, resurrection, and lordship. Total surrender, holding nothing back. A life that follows him daily, not religion, but a relationship. Additional truth to hold firmly. God's mercy always precedes his judgment. God never forgets the righteous in times of destruction. Delay is not escape. Judgment may tarry, but it will come. When God begins to remove his people, events will move quickly. There is always a quote-unquote too late moment when the door closes. In Ark of Noah's day had a closing moment. Sodom had a final hour. This world will also reach that point, but right now mercy is still speaking. The door is still open. The call is going to stay. The call is still going out. Enter while you can, because when God begins to judge the earth, it will only be after he has first taken out the righteous. So, after that post, I thought that was pretty freaking awesome. But then people are like, get the heck out of here with this, blah, 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 blah. We're going to be stuck here. You know, we're part of the rat, you know, all this stuff. So I thought it was pretty cool. I'm one of those people who think that, you know, I'm searching for the truth. You know, I'd love to think that there's a rapture where God takes us before things really go to hell around here. And then there's total destruction. But I can also see where God really wants to see who's going to make it. And because let's talk about this, the Quran, right? The Quran specifically says, Quran 2:191, slay the unbelievers wherever you find them. Quran 5:33, maul and crucify the infidels if you crucify Islam. Quran 8:65, unbelievers are stupid. Muslims are urged to fight them. Quran 9:123, make war on the infidels living in your neighborhood. And all of this stuff is Quran. Quran 3:28, Muslims must not take the infidels as friends. Quran 8:12, terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than the Quran. So that right there, this is basically, I got this whole thing about how people, Christians, are being beheaded. So I'm thinking, okay, we're gonna have to fight. God wants to see who's really gonna go through all these trials and tribulations. And I know Islam is taking over the UK dramatically and they're beheading people. So maybe there isn't no rapture. So I'd love to think that this post sounds awesome. It sounds great. I'd love to think that, hey, I'm going to get raptured up, but I don't know. So what do you guys think about this whole thing? Because it's very fascinating and this topic could last us a couple of hours, which we don't have. Let's try to wrap it up in 45 minutes.
First Thess.
Religion of peace.
Yeah, religion of peace.
Yeah, religion of peace. Yeah.
First Thessalonians 4 talks all about when will we see our dead relatives again. And Paul is telling them, you know, at the end, when everything happens, this and that and so forth. He's not talking about the rapture of the church. There is no rapture of the church. The other quote you had in there is, two shall be working in the field, one shall be there, one shall not. Two shall be treading the winepress, one will be present, one will not. Directly to me points to Revelation 7. Which is the taking of the 144,000.
Ah, 144,000.
Because the 144,000 are those people that come back on the Day of Atonement behind Jesus in the clouds in the white robes. They have been washed clean because they are the bride of Christ, not the church. His elect that are on the earth at the time.
So he's,
and those that are dead that shall rise first and meet them in the air.
So you're saying the rapture is the 144,000?
The 144,000.
So out of 5 billion people on earth, only 144,000 get raptured.
Yes, exactly. Okay. The rest of us go through the, what everybody calls the tribulation. If Satan's going to have control of the earth, who's he going to persecute?
Christians.
If the Christians are gone,
right?
Who's left? Only the people that serve him anyway, and he's not going to persecute
right.
them.
Right, exactly.
He has to have the believers left, probably some of those that, as we've talked about, on the shores of the sea in fire and glass at the last judgment. You go over here and stand on my left side because I don't know you.
Right.
Those are the people that are going to go through the tribulation. Some of them will wind up on the right side because they will convert completely, and others are going to keep their course and stay right where they're at and say, I did this for Jesus. I did this for Jesus. I did this for God. And I'm like, nope. I
so
didn't know you.
That's where the mark of the beast will come in and they're like, yeah, I'll take the mark of the beast, but you know, I follow Jesus. And that's when Jesus will be like, I don't know you, bro. You
good
took the mark
point.
Of the beast.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah. Now, question. The 144,000, how do you get to be part of the 144 club?
You don't know that.
Because I want to be part of the 144
those
club.
Those are people that are at the top of the list.
That's
of
what
the
we're,
book,
that's what we're
of the
name
book of
this
life.
Episode. How do you get to be part of the 144
right.
club?
You are the top on the list in the book of life.
Man.
You've done everything responsibly the way you are. God has picked you out for a certain purpose.
My mom's going to be on that 144 list, bro.
Everybody should pray that they're on that list. A lot of us are going to be disappointed.
You think anybody alive today and in the current year is
it's the current year
has a chance to being on that list.
There's no way I would
in our society.
No way I'd be
in this society.
Dude, if you were to hang out with me and Saul at work, no way would you think you, especially Saul, the way.
Oh yeah, we had that conversation last time.
He's like, this week I was like, Saul, you're not being very Christ-like. He goes, I blame my dad.
Hey, that's great.
That was awesome. He threw you under
spare
the bus.
Spare the rod and spoil the child.
It was great. Oh, it was awesome. It was so good. I love you guys. So, yeah, the 144 Club. So, yeah, that's what you should strive to be, part of the 144 right. Club. I dig. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Which is why it's important to know where the tribes of Israel went. Because we can start looking for those people that are not 12,000 from Judah, 12,000 from Benjamin. Where are the rest of them? They're scattered all over the world in all these other countries.
Which I think is why God tells you so much to hide the word in your heart. Because think about it. If you only have the Bible on your phone, think about how easy it would be for AI to change the book on your phone app. Which I'm guilty of this because I only have the Bible currently on my phone. And there's always an update or whatever. And you guys have a physical copy. I know what copy I want to buy, but I haven't got there. But thinking about this, you know, you've studied the word. You've hid it in your heart. I need to get there. Mm-hmm. I know my weakness. You know, I'm really good with prayer, but I'm terrible with reading. But, you know, but there's certain Bible verses that I have deep inside my soul and heart that I always refer to, you know. The old is gone, the old is gone, the new has come, all those things like that. But I think that's why God wants you to hide it so hard, because in the end times, there will be no Bibles or whatever. But if you have it in your heart, no one can take that out of you.
Right. I mean, look at the difference in just the translations from the different Bibles that are printed. Go with, okay, the easiest one is Genesis 1.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You would think that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
The Hebrew doesn't say that. The Hebrew translates as, at the time of the beginning, God brought forth from nothingness the sky and the ground. That's the literal translation. So where did we come up with heaven and earth? I mean, we come up with God singular in our Bible, but in the original, the word is Elohim, which is a plural. God with an S at the end, in parentheses.
What do you mean, gods?
Gods. And then it also says later that, you know, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And who was over top of the water? The Spirit of God was on top of the waters. You've got the Father, you've got the Son, you've got the Holy Spirit, the Trinity right there in the first few verses of Genesis. Then you go back, or you go ahead, to John. In the beginning was the Word.
The Word was
God. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Right.
And everything that He brought into existence came into existence. And nothing that did not exist did He not bring into existence. Meaning Jesus is there with God. Elohim. Not El, not Adonai, not Hashem. Jesus brought everything to existence with the permission of the Father. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit goes out and breathes over the water, calms the water, brings the dry earth up. Mm-hmm. But our translations don't put it that way. Why, you know, you got to go back to who wrote the books. You know, everybody translates the difference between your different versions.
Do you have something you want to say?
I'm good.
I'm pontificating, I know.
He had that look. Like he had
that
look
like I said something wrong.
Interesting. So, yeah. So, that was the other thing, was that kind of freaked me out a little bit, was reading the Quran, Bible, their Bible verses. Was
a horrible book.
Well, no, like
I've tried in my
the surahs.
In my Christian memes group, it says, it was a person who said, "Hey, I'm part of this religion, and I don't know how this is a religion of peace. Can someone explain to me how these verses are a religion of peace?" And the verses they posted were Quran 47:4, do not speak peace with infidels, behead them when you catch them. Quran 9:30, the Jews and Christians are perverts, fight them. Quran 8:60, Muslims must muster all weapons to terrorize the infidels. Quran 3:85, any religion other than Islam is not acceptable.
So the guy who married a six-year-old calls the Jews and Christians a pervert.
Got it.
Quran
22:19, punish the unbelievers with garments of fire, hooked with rods, boiling water, melt their skin and bellies. Quran 9:5, when the opportunity arises, kill the infidels wherever you find them. Quran 8:12, terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than the Quran. Quran 3:28, Muslims must not take the infidels as friends. Yeah, and I went through that.
And we have a political party in the world today that seems to think that we must destroy all borders and let anybody and everybody into our country. If they want to come here for any reason, we shouldn't vet them any way, shape, or form. And these are the people that basically are coming in.
And we have a supposed Christian individual that's the head of a certain worldwide church that wears a white yarmulke and a white robe saying, we have to befriend the Muslims because they're children of God just like us. No, they are sons of perdition. They are servants of Satan. They need to be treated as such.
Well, here's an interesting reply to that. It says, God said, don't lie. God cannot lie. God is the truth and holiness. Allah and Satan are the greatest liars. According to the Quran, Allah is the best of deceivers, 3:54, 8:30, and Jesus declares that Satan is the father of lies, John 8:44. The Bible also says that Satan is the deceiver of the whole world, Revelation 12:9. The Quran says that Allah is the greatest deceiver. Therefore, Allah is Satan. Research Nabid Qureshi, who was a devout Muslim that debated Christians and ended up converting to Christianity. He wrote a very popular book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. His testimony is on YouTube. Friends should draw you closer to holiness and Jesus Christ. If they pull you towards sin more than holiness, then you should walk away. Obey Jesus Christ over every person. Get an index study Bible and the God questions and you version apps. Study God's word daily. Trust God's word, will, and timing. Love and pray for everyone, especially for them to accept Lord Jesus Christ. Praise Jesus with your music. Preach repentance and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important. The rapture is close. Keep the faith no matter what. The seven-year tribulation period, Jacob's trouble, the end of the world, the last 7 years is from 4-3-2026 through 4-3-2023 due to the date of Jesus' crucifixion, which was 4-3-1933. Weird. 2 Peter 3:8, Hosea 6:2, and Ezekiel 20:33. 4-3-2033 is the last day, the day of the Lord. See, this guy gets real crazy. See, Revelation 16, 17 through 21, the apocalyptic earthquake gets rid of all the cities, mountains, and islands. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture should be by 2028 due to Israel's 80th anniversary, which is 5-14 of 2028. And the fig tree prophecy, Matthew 24, which is 32 through 34, and Mark 13:28-30 and Psalm 19:18, the apostles' asteroid is wormwood from Revelation 6:8 and 16. Look up the wormwood prophecy by Tom Horn. Study the Holy Bible with your family. Pray for them. So this guy had great things to say, and then he gets all crazy because we all know nobody knows.
And he did the same mistake that I did. I set a date.
Yeah, he set a date
because of it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and you know, And I was very clear when I set that date. If I am wrong, I will be hilarious and letting you know I screwed up. And I was all over Facebook. I was wrong.
Wait, you
predict, a couple of years ago,
you predicted Jesus' comeback?
I predicted the end of time was going to come right before Trump got elected.
You were one of those guys?
I was one of those guys. Oh, yeah, sure. Because things had lined up. And it's like, well, the day's gone, folks. I have to fess up now.
Great video game, bro.
Yeah. And I did. I made a mistake. God's not ready.
God's not ready.
When he's ready, he'll let it happen. I still think it can only happen on one day. But that day isn't happening yet. One day of the year, it's it.
Which is a Monday, Tuesday?
For the taking of the 144,000?
Yeah.
Yom Teruha.
Which is
the first day of the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar.
Which would be?
The Feast of the Trumpets.
Which would be?
I don't know what it is this year. I have to look up the calendar.
Okay, so every year that happens?
Every year that happens, sit there and wait.
Okay.
With your lamps lit, your staff in your hand, your sandals on your feet.
And be like, okay, today.
You don't know if you're going to be taken that day.
Today could be.
Because
the day.
It fits the prophecy.
Got it.
No man knows the day or the hour. Because on that day, and it's the only feast day of the Lord that is a new moon.
But see what you just said there, no man knows the day or the hour.
There's the point.
That's the point.
That's the key to it, because with a new moon, they count it from the last sliver of the old moon disappearing to when you can see the first sliver reappear. And that takes up to 48 hours. And in that time of darkness at night, no man knows the day or the hour.
Right. Because don't you think out of all the prophecies, that's the one prophecy that Jesus don't want right. to give you clues to?
Right. And if that happens that way, and then Jesus takes the 44,000 back to heaven, to the marriage of the Lamb, they will spend 7 days in the marital chuppah, which is the wedding chamber, doing marital congress. When they come out of that, they have a feast day in heaven. On the 10th day, he brings his bride back to earth and knocks the snarkies out of Satan and his followers. 10 days after Yom Teruah is the Day of Atonement.
Okay, wait. So wait, the 144,000 that gets taken, you're saying they're only there for 10 days, and then they come
and
back.
They come back with
that's Armageddon.
No, that's not Armageddon. Armageddon is a bad term because it's...
What's the point of the 144 only being gone for 10 days?
Because they have to be the bride of Christ that are taken away and come back with him in heaven because they will be our teachers in the future as God writes his laws in our hearts, in our minds. And we won't have to learn the Torah again or whatever. He's going to instill it with us. And these are going to be our leaders, the 144,000.
And that's the oddity of the, what people would call the new covenant, or renewed covenant, if you want to call it that. Because everyone's like, we're in the new covenant. But it says, if you read it in Jeremiah, you know, 33 or Hebrews 8, it's 31. 30. Yeah, it's 31. It says that we won't need to seek someone to teach us because we'll all know God.
Right.
How can we be in the new covenant now if we're still seeking the knowledge of God? People are still going to church. People still need to, are still asking other people, are still, looking for teachers to teach them the things of God. But that's one of the things about the new covenant.
Right.
That we get into, that we won't have to. We'll just all know him.
Okay.
And Jesus pointed to it when he spoke in Nazareth in the synagogue and read from Isaiah, read halfway through, and then stopped mid-sentence. And the rabbi says, what about the day of vengeance? You left that out. The day of vengeance is in the future. That's the Day of Atonement when he brings back his bride with him, and he confronts Satan physically, which the day you would call Armageddon, Har-Megiddo.
Okay, so backing up, so the 144 that's taken, has Earth gone? Has the market? Has hell gone?
Happens at the end of what we would call the tribulation, and it's not 7 years; it's 3.5. Because least God cut the time short, all flesh shall die.
So Earth's gone to hell at this point, right?
Almost, yes.
Oh, okay.
Satan is in charge. We've got dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria. Got it.
Exactly. Right. That's what we're talking about.
So Satan's been... So the real Satan, not the Antichrist, the real Satan...
With the Antichrist as his lieutenant.
Satan is out of hell. He's on Earth.
The little horn.
Right, which he probably looks like Fabio in real life.
He's going to be a guy in an Armani suit with a really good coiffed haircut.
The whole horn thing he's an angel, dude.
He's an angel. He can be whatever he wants. He's not stuck being a serpent.
Right.
He's not stuck being a dragon. Those powers of his
he probably looks like Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably going to be a one world government comes in and everything's united in peace and everybody loves
and
him.
Let's talk about
that. Why it's
I not brought
Trump
that video.
Not everyone loves this
I brought
guy.
That video to you to show you that we're headed to a one world nation right now.
One world order.
Right. One world order with
Novus Ordo Seclorum.
With the financial and everything, with that guy who broke down Revelation and everything, with the guy who thinks is the Antichrist, he's gay, he doesn't care about women. He got a fatal blow where the three people, the CEO, all of them, they all resigned. He took the fatal blow. His name has six letters, beginning, middle, and end, has six initials. I forgot who this guy is. He owns the biggest AI company in the world. His AI, I'll show you the video. It's insanity how he's put all these pieces together of who the Antichrist is.
And according to Daniel, he's going to come from the Middle East. From the Seleucid portion of Alexander's empire, which is Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria.
What do you want to show me on the dollar bill?
Read that right on that banner underneath the pyramid.
Novus Ordo Seclorum.
New World Order.
New World, is that what
that says? That's what that means in Latin. New Secular Order.
Has that always been there?
Yes.
Really?
Because our forefathers knew that this was going to... I could do two podcasts just on the dollar bill. And what like all it. This stuff means.
Pastor Randy's going to be down for that. I like it.
This is prophecy. The backside of our dollar bill, because our forefathers knew who we were.
Bunch and of savages.
They knew what tribe we belonged to. And it's all right there. On the Great Seal of the United States.
So what about the $100 bill, bro?
No.
Oh,
okay. Only on the $1 bill.
Only on the $1 bill.
With a whole bunch of other things that are in there. That's a story for another.
We should change the name of this podcast to Frontline, the Conspiracy Theories.
Well, you know, sometimes that conspiracy stuff is pretty much right in line. The best investigative reporting usually comes from the National Enquirer. They're not that far off sometimes.
So, getting back to your alien theory, so the 144,000 would be, oh, the aliens took them. That's where we're getting back to your theory, where we are now saying, Trump and all them are saying that aliens exist, so we're introducing aliens now into the world. So when the 144,000 do get, we can now say, hey, the 144,000 people disappeared, aliens took them.
If that is yet to happen, yeah. Or if the whole Tartarian thing happened and we're past the millennial reign and the Camp of the Saints returns, you know, as a floating city, and it becomes visible and people see it, that's a mothership. And in that case, then all the stuff from the bottomless pit can pour on out, and Satan can have, you know, demons and Nephilim and other weird things and, you know, other strange creatures come out of the pit and say, see, the mothership's attacking us, we need to destroy it. Which, that would be a great way that everybody would unite, one world order, we all unite and try to take out the Camp of the Saints, because it is bringing terror upon us.
William Pope, that's the guy. Go check out his YouTube channel. He just talked about the New World Order.
That's one way that William could Pope. Happen.
Revelation, chapter 21.
That's all he talks about is Revelation.
Reading, verbatim, King James here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
I like it.
Hosea.
Don't you love Revelation?
I will scatter my people. They will not be my friends. I will not be their God. But in the end days, they shall become known as the children of the living God.
And that happens just after...
Right before the millennium starts.
No, that...
That's after the millennium.
Yeah, that comes down is just after, because in Revelation 20 is where
Satan is let loose.
He's let loose.
So right. Here's what we need to talk about next week. Staying on this same topic of Revelation end times, but since you guys are all pro-gun, are you allowed to protect yourself when Satan is released on earth to kill people that are trying to behead, you know what I'm saying?
Always.
Like, okay, so obviously, this is where it gets.
Abraham had what? 318 warriors that went out, you know, to do things. I mean, God does not want us just to be, you know, defenseless, but cowering.
If we're supposed to be beheaded for his name, though, at the same time, it's like, eh.
You know what?
Abraham took 50 of his best men and went after the five kings that stole Lot and slaughtered the armies of five kingdoms in a night with 50 men. That means we can defend ourselves. When somebody does wrong to us, we can have vengeance on them with righteous indignation.
So,
defend your God,
right.
Defend your family, defend your country, in that order.
I guess that's kind of where I'm going. Defend your God. So what? Obviously, it tells us that we're going to die for our faith. So
there's no better way to die than die for your faith.
Take a couple of them.
Become out the martyr.
Right.
If you're going to die, make it mean something.
Because, I mean, this life is temporary. It's just a vapor. So, you know, if you're going to go out swinging.
What does Lincoln say in the Gettysburg Address? For these individuals have not died in vain. And a new country shall come about.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing, not exact words. Of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Well, someone like me who doesn't have a firearm.
Sure.
So it's going to be, how am I going to protect my family?
You're doing it right here through the microphone. This is your weapon. Mm-hmm. You're getting out to the world. You're telling your opinion. You're swaying people with your words. This is what we got to do, folks, because we have to thwart the adversary at every corner. When we come up against him, you need to stand there, put on the full armor of God and say, God, you've got my back. Here I go.
Mm-hmm.
Use me as your battle axe.
I like it.
You're doing it.
Right.
We who have guns, we're going to do the same thing. We just have a little more skin in the game, I guess, because we can defend ourselves a little better than somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean Saul and I are going to march down the street in the next couple days if our governor would do something stupid, just per se, and start shooting people. We're not going to do that because that's not what God wants.
Right.
He wants us to acclimate and get along with everyone until we're pushed to the point where it becomes necessary.
They're definitely trying to push as hard as they can to get people to that point, though.
They are pushing, right. Exactly.
Like, I mean, our governor the world in general, it's like everything is pushing towards absolute, like, psychotic control of every person. It's this whole, like, with computers, they want every operating system, they want you to have to give your, you know, government ID to log into a computer.
Well, you know what that's leading to.
That's insanity.
That's leading to the mark of the beast.
I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing that. No, absolutely not. But, do you know how often things get hacked? Like the T app was hacked and all this information that they were not supposed to keep, they kept and it got hacked.
Right.
The company that is supposedly going to keep the information for the government has, I guess, in the past had really shoddy and terrible security practices with the information they did hold on to, keeping things in clear text and easy. You know, it's like, I'm not giving that information out. That's insane.
Don't you get this, though? Is that all things have to come to pass? Don't you get that this has to happen? This is all in Revelation, bro. Even though you don't like it and you don't want to do it, this has to come into play, bro. I tried to tell you that. This is part of the mark of the beast.
For there shall be wars and rumors of wars in diverse places, earthquakes and floods and hailstorms and just all, like, this other stuff. And the end is not yet.
Pissed my wife off last week when I told her, I was like, when she was complaining about all this stuff happening, I was like, it's only going to get worse. She's like, I'm like, it's all in the Revelation. She goes, so you want us to die in this lifetime? I'm like, well, I'm just telling you it's fact.
The problem is, at some point, people will just say they've had enough and will just refuse. What point is that? I mean, we started a country because, what, there was a 1% tax on a tea, and we're getting charged, like, what is it, 37-ish% of our income is completely taxed. Some temporary thing that started, what, World War One, World War Two, some temporary tax for income tax is now permanent. However many years later?
Well, like, really? We know that nobody in this world loves a particular leader, everybody on both sides. So we know that hasn't come into play yet.
That's because half the country's insane.
Well, the problem is that if everybody would just listen to if everyone on the left and everyone on the right would just stop saying that they're better than would the other one, would just listen to each other and come together, things would be so much better. But that's not
help.
The point.
It would help.
Each person is poisoning the other side, and that's a problem. But you know what?
I think the left poisons a lot more than the right, but the right isn't, you know, innocent either.
Right. But that's the question. Is it going to get better or is it going to get worse? I think it's going to get worse.
I really think Trump is trying to make it better. Is he perfect? No, he does things wrong, but I think so if you read the books of the Kings, like in books of the Chronicles, you'll see like with Israel, there was no good king of Israel. The best was Ahab, which was considered evil, but he kind of tried, oddly enough. When it came to Judah, you had bad kings that just plummeted the nation, and then good kings came up and things prospered again. And then bad king came in, plummeted, and then you had a good king that came in and it prospered. And at the end, you had a few really good kings. One was Hezekiah. I can't think of there was one or two others right at the end that were really awesome, and then it just tanked again.
And then it tanked to Zedekiah with the Babylonians.
Yeah, so it's almost like we've had in America, we've had a, you know, amazingly horrible amount of presidents, and then Trump comes in and is trying to actually kind of, you know, have an uptick of, you know, a functioning country that half the country is fighting him over, and most of Congress is fighting him over, trying to make it work again until the next horrid president comes in and tanks it. Like Biden, like Trump actually had our economy functional for the most part, except for the whole COVID thing.
Which is what I want to bring up.
Which Fauci even said in Trump's presidency, he will have a major pandemic to deal with. Well, that's weird. How did he know that 2 years before?
Look how easy it was for one guy who had a doctor's certificate behind his name to coerce millions of people in this country to get a shot at a vaccine.
You mean
that did no good for anybody?
You mean the one that's killing people?
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci.
The one that they're just now admitting that people have been dying from?
Yeah, the COVID shot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and all the boosters. COVID wasn't a problem. COVID was cold and a flu mixed together. It was the boosters and the vaccine.
The vaccine was the problem.
Which were the actual poisons. People lined up, and I was looking at up in the Bible because I know it's in there.
The sting of the
lambs to the slaughter. Get the Fauci ouchie. Get yourself jabbed. Yeah. You can't be in the military unless you're in the military with Joe Biden's permission.
Unfortunately, I got that shot.
I understand. That's not necessarily the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast will be so easy because of the example. This was the full dress rehearsal for the mark of the beast, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody getting the COVID shot just because the government told you to.
You're not wrong. All right. So we should wrap up soon here. But I think Saul has one thing he wants to say before we... By the way, did you pick a song like I told you to when I texted you?
Huh? I just ignored the text and yeah.
You guys are killing me with this cough crap. Dopes.
You can hear the passion in the voice. That's where the cough comes from.
Somewhere in Revelation, I think it's in Revelation.
You mean you don't actually know for once?
So it talks about I know in Revelation 9:10 it talks about the things that come out of the things coming out of the pit and having, you know,
locusts.
But they had
a sting in their tail.
Yeah, tails like on the scorpions. But I don't think it was here. Something
in God of War. Ooh.
If you look at the Greek, it's talking about like pharma, like pharmaceuticals. Yeah. They talk about pharmaceuticals bringing death to numerous people. Like, well, we have things like the COVID shot, which was a experimental, never before tried type of vaccination that was rushed through because things like ivermectin, which is an antiviral known as safe, couldn't be tested against a virus.
Funny enough, I watched Dr. Pimple Popper. She just prescribed ivermectin to somebody who had she had a skin disorder because she has mites on her face.
Yeah,
she
cleared it.
Yeah, she gave her that.
It was a cream. It's not a poison. There is a severe effect that can happen from ivermectin. Yeah. And normally that only happens if you're someone who you cannot keep fat on your body to any degree. Ivermectin can be absolutely like life-threateningly dangerous to you. It can cause paralysis. Yeah.
Now, didn't the military use it for yellow fever?
World War II. Used it before.
It's been used in humans repeatedly. We've given it. It's just that they use it now as a horse tranquilizer. Yeah.
People, not a tranquilizer, just a horse dewormer.
A dewormer, excuse me.
But people who come into the country legally, or people who go out abroad and come back in, have been given things like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin to make sure they don't have parasites and not bringing them back. So, I mean, we've used it. I mean, how many, probably billion, doses have been given out legally when the whole thing happened with COVID. People are complaining that they couldn't get their dosage of ivermectin that they had been getting for years beforehand. They couldn't get it anymore because now all of a sudden it's dangerous and killing everybody. People are lining up in the hospitals because they looked at ivermectin and now they're all dying.
Because Dr. Fauci had to make his millions by manipulating the stock market.
It was complete.
So all of his stocks went up.
Complete BS, the whole thing. And people are like, I just don't want to talk about it. Ivermectin, it's killing everybody. If you even thought about that, you're an idiot. Took the shot.
I would like to thank our listeners in the country of
Vietnam.
Thank you for our Vietnam listeners.
Why are you listening to us from Vietnam? You should write in it, whatever their email address is.
Will you please write in and tell us, A, how'd you find the show? B, why do you like listening to us? And C, how the heck are you now downloading the show more than our American friends? So this is crazy.
We really want to know.
Do you really like listening to a bunch of people who don't like the church on a Methodist podcast? I mean,
that would be Saul, not me. I actually am a member here and I do everything here. So Saul is the outcast. So thank you. All right, let's get that clear. All right. Leo, he's an anomaly. We don't talk about that.
That's right.
But all right, so that's it for our topic for today. If you want to write in, feel free to do so at frontlineharmonypodcast@gmail.com. I think that's the correct email.
Vietnam people, let's get this them, because
Vietnam people, frontlineharmonypodcast@gmail.com, please write in. We'd love to hear from you. Now let's roll into our music spotlight. So I gave Saul yesterday, I texted him on the day you're not supposed to text on the Sabbath. And I told the man, pick a freaking song. So let's see what he picked for today.
I found a song that has words.
Okay, excellent. Are they in English?
Most of them are in English. Does that count?
Yeah. Okay, what do you got?
Okay, it's another song from the band Mishkanim.
Okay. You know, I liked it. I liked it last time. It's cool.
Praise, which we had Praise the Lion of Judah before.
Yeah.
This one is Yah is My Light.
Yah is My Light. I like it. Okay.
Yah being, of course, the abbreviated, the shortened version
now,
of.
Is this a name of God. Upbeat song, slow song, yeah. Worship song? What are we dealing with here?
It's upbeat.
Upbeat? Okay. Yeah. I like it. All right, cool. So if you want to write in, feel free to do so. frontlineharmonypodcast@gmail.com. My wife just texts me, says I got to get my butt home. So got to listen to the wife. So gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been a very awesome topic. This is good stuff. We're going to continue this next week. I'm going to come up with more Revelation stuff because I am in the kick of end time stuff. It's great. So anything else you guys want to say before we wrap up?
I think we're good for right now. We'll have more ammunition next week.
Yes, more. Bring some ammunition for next week. I want to. We got a topic. Let's drill this thing for the next couple weeks because we're gonna go down this rabbit hole of end times. So I love it. So all right, you guys have a good one. Take care. Harmony out. To me.
you never said that I'm okay. 'Cause right now I'm lost and lost count of the broken prayers I've prayed. And it's true that some days it'd be easier to doubt, but your word has never let me down. So I believe you when you say. The future, 'cause I know your plans are good for me. And it's true that some days it'd be easier to doubt, but your word has never let me down. So I believe you when you say. When you tell